Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, hour two, Monday, live. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Wife's coming back home today. Been in Chicago all weekend. Boy, is Chicago beautiful. What a beautiful city architecturally. What a beautiful city.
Chicago's great.
Oh, it's a great city.
Does that mean you're going to start using coasters again? And
yeah, got to be responsible tonight. Hung out with my daughter yesterday. Hung out with the fam. Some buddies.
It was really hot here in LA yesterday.
Oh, kind of gross.
Yeah, I don't like to complain about the weather in LA very much because it's kind of snobby considering we have perfect weather all the time.
It's the Mediterranean.
I just feel like we should get more warning when it's going to be super hot.
Yeah, no kidding. Give us a heads up. The 4 days, it's mildly uncomfortable.
Seriously, it's dramatic, though. You're so used to it being beautiful every day. So just like, it's 90 degrees out.
I was talking to Mark Sanchez, Mark the broadcaster, and I said on a podcast they did yesterday, and I said, I always feel like I'm defending California. It's like, oh, the taxes. Oh, you're too soft. Yet we are soft because you get soft here because it's really nice.
You can't help it.
By the way, people get really soft living on the Mediterranean. They're not as hard as people that live in Antarctica. I mean, that's a reality. It's really, really warm lot.
Yeah, and the sun is shining every day. Sunshine helps.
It helps. Makes me less cranky.
Yeah.
All right, where Colin was right, Colin wrong, brought to you by Jersey Mike's. Good things come to those who wait. At Jersey Mike's, they come to those who don't. Cut to the chase. Download our app, order ahead by Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above. Colin right, Colin wrong, here we go.
Where Colin was right.
Katie's hurt again. Brooklyn has questions. Kevin Durant, in the last 26 games he's played, has left injured in 6 of them. He hasn't played in 7 straight games in 2 years. I never bought into the he's the next LeBron or he's superior to LeBron. LeBron is the emotional, physical rock of this league. Kevin Durant is simply talented. But of course he's banged up and injured again. This is his career. Broke his foot mid-20s, Oklahoma City. He's 7 feet and thin, runs the floor, gets banged up easily. It's one of the reasons I don't see Brooklyn winning a title.
Where Colin was wrong.
The Mac Jones hype tour continues. Peter King and Mike Lombardi both tied in. They're saying the Niners are taking him at number 3. And they're both plugged in. It's funny. It used to be that playing just 1 year as a starter, that was considered a real risk. So he's got the lowest ceiling, a college DUI. He played 1 year. He's the least athletic. His arm is average, and he's going 3, and the Niners gave up 4 picks to get a 1 year starter. There are so many red flags with Mac Jones that in my life would push you out of the first round, and it's moved him up. Not to mention he plays for Alabama. None of their quarterbacks have worked. There's like 9 red flags. I don't get it.
Where Colin was right.
A month ago, I said the Lakers should not rush AD and LeBron back. Why? The bottom half of the NBA is so rancid, you can go 500 without these guys. And the Lakers have won 7 of 12, and they're still a number 5 seed in the Superior West. They beat the Jazz Saturday. Listen, I don't blame the Lakers. LeBron, I was told, wanted to come back 2 weeks in. And the Lakers are like, slow down. AD's a little more chill. He enjoys the time off. But if you don't lose your position in the standings, and AD is brittle and LeBron is old, what is the point? What's the win in rushing them back? The Lakers are what we thought they would be when they left. Good enough to hang.
Where Colin was right.
I said before the season, and I know a lot of you think I'm not a baseball guy, but I actually watch a lot of it in the regular season and just don't talk about it. I said, are the Dodgers potentially the best baseball team in the last 20 years? It looks like it. Forget the wins. Yeah, they lead baseball in that. They lead in run differential almost double the next team. They're off to the best start ever for a World Series champion. They're not even playing Cody Bellinger, who's a former MVP and Rookie of the Year. Mookie Betts missed several games. If Clayton Kershaw's like your three starter, Trevor Bauer, Walker Buehler, Clayton Kershaw, their bullpen's a little bit of a concern, not a gigantic concern, but top to bottom, this is as good a baseball team as I have seen since the Yankees in the late 90s.
Where Colin was wrong.
Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid are not only working, when they play together, they're 27-6. You got to give Doc Rivers credit. This is what he did at Boston. He takes egos, he takes stars. Rondo was difficult. You know, Paul Pierce, KG, Ray Allen, just made it work. Philadelphia has been so uneven the last few years, and I don't even think Ben Simmons and Embiid's games work. But right now, they really match up with Brooklyn. They match up with Miami. They match up with Milwaukee. It's a really good basketball team. They're number two in the NBA defensively. They can score. I still think they need one more three-point shooter, but Ben Simmons is having a remarkable year, and Joel Embiid pretty much scores whenever he feels like it.
Where Colin was right.
I had my doubts day one with John Gruden. Go ahead and coach. Stay out of personnel. He falls in love with players. That is a no-no if you're a general manager. Last week, NFL.com graded the last five drafts. Gruden and the Raiders are dead last. And that's using the Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper first-round picks. So they had a lot of first-rounders, and they're still last. This is my knock on Gruden. He can coach. I don't doubt that. He and Derek Carr have some symmetry. It works. Get him out of personnel. I can remember when we worked together at the other place. Johnny Manziel, number one pick. The good teams took Johnny Manziel off their board. He fell in love with Henry Ruggs and his speed. Coaches have to love their players because they interact with them all day. General managers, they're up in the executive suites. They just need to like players. My concerns about Gruden are coming to reality.
Where Colin was wrong.
I didn't like when the Knicks hired Tom Thibodeau. I thought, oh, good Lord. Workaholic, grinder, retread. But I'll say this, the Knicks are playing great. How about Julius Randle, who has really become a decent three-point shooter? He was productive for the Lakers, but he couldn't shoot. And he'd end up with 18 points, 55% field goal. He's kind of a poor man Zion. But he never a great ball handler, never a great shooter. Now he can shoot. He leads the NBA in minutes played. Super productive. RJ Barrett, who Joy liked in college, has become a great young player. Derrick Rose is working. So I never thought Thibodeau would work. I thought he would wear these guys out. But the Knicks play hard. RJ Barrett's a star. Julius Randle is playing like one. D. Rose has found his spot on the roster. Number six in the East. And by the way, playoffs are always better in the East if the New York Knicks are involved. Even if they're out in four games. Nothing like Madison Square Garden for the NBA playoffs.
Where Colin was right.
I've said before, there's three or four players only in the NBA who I think are not only gifted, but leaders. Chris Paul, Jimmy Butler, Steph Curry, LeBron. Not just talented, they change the win totals in the standings. Steph Curry's on fire. 39 points last 10 games. This is the hottest he's ever been in his career. And that's saying something. 75% of NBA stars a couple years ago would have taken Westbrook over him. He's never gotten the respect. Not only is he one of the smartest players in league history, he changed the game. But you're seeing now his impact. When he doesn't play, this is an awful team. They're awful. They're 1-7. That's the same with Jimmy Butler. We saw Miami when Jimmy wasn't playing. They were bad. He plays, they can beat anybody. So there's only about four guys in the league like this. Chris Paul, LeBron, Jimmy Butler, Steph. They're beyond talented. It's not just talent. They elevate everybody around him, and Steph's playing, believe it or not, as well as he's ever played.
Where Colin was wrong.
I don't get pro days. I think they're nonsense. You're just throwing to air and college teammates. But now, not only are pro days being taken seriously, now guys are doing two. Justin Fields, two. Trey Lance, two. You know, the combine got ditched in Indianapolis. Maybe this is the future. I still think watching the tape of a college player play and then sitting down and interviewing him for about 15, 20 minutes feels like 99% of it. All pro days are is college kids throwing to the receivers. It's like what you do in the summer. It's just a relaxing, no pads, no helmet, no audible, not being chased, no fear of getting hit. But they're getting more popular. Not less. They're getting more popular among smart NFL people. Brooklyn Nets. Joy loved them. I didn't. That's why the playoffs are great. You liked the Raptors a couple years ago. I didn't buy them. They won the championship.
Well, the Raptors are a little bit of a different team than the Nets.
They play defense.
I love watching the Nets. I'm going to enjoy watching them in the playoffs. I still think if the Lakers are healthy, the Lakers are going to win the championship. But the Raptors were just the first in the East every year. They just needed a star. Culture was there. System was there.
Pretty without defense doesn't win championships. That's if you're a Brooklyn fan. It just doesn't. Kansas City won their Super Bowl when their defense was great a week 12 on. Last year at the end of the year, wasn't as great. They lost the left tackle. You can be pretty, but you got it. What Tom Brady didn't win that Super Bowl. That defense won the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
Okay, it's nothing against Gonzaga. They were pretty, but they weren't tough. Brooklyn's not tough. They're pretty without the tough. It is you got to shoot so well. I always said this about Golden State. Now, the Bulls with Jordan were pretty and tough, and they would have beaten the Durant, Steph, Clay, Warriors. But Draymond Green is tough, and say what you want, Golden State was a top 10 defensive team, and Klay Thompson in his prime is the best number two. He's the best two-guard defender that there is. So don't give me this Golden State was just pretty. No, they weren't. Kevin Durant is not a bad defender. Draymond in his prime was great. Klay in his prime is great. They had three legitimate defenders and Andre Iguodala off the bench. So Golden State was pretty, but you got tough. You got no elite defenders who are going to play major minutes for Brooklyn. Chris Broussard around the corner.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Saturday on FS1 is another great MLB doubleheader. First, Juan Soto and the Nationals take on Lindor and the Mets. Coverage begins at 3 Eastern. Then at 7, the Rangers battle the White Sox, all on FS1 and the Fox Sports app.
Mets are better than the Yankees right now. The Yankees have been a little bit of a disappointment. I wouldn't know what that's like in Los Angeles. All our teams win all the time. So obnoxious. By the way, Mom said to always have fresh undies. Moms, get new fresh underwear from Tommy John for a Mother's Day gift, guys. 20% off your first order, TommyJohn.com/Herd. All right, I'm excited to talk to Broussard today because he loves Brooklyn. And I've said, I think they're, Joy loves them. I think they're a powder keg. Emotionally, physically, I just think they're ready to implode. And I said this earlier in the year. It's like, they were better than I thought. But come on now, we're getting how many games left we got regular season? About 15?
Yeah, 15 or so.
Okay, now Kevin Durant's hurt again. Kyrie still plays when he wants to. Harden's not really hurt. But I don't know if I trust him in the postseason. And Chris Broussard now joins us live. Can you acknowledge today you're a little concerned with your pretty, often hurt, often flaky Nets? A little concerned.
I am a little concerned, Colin. I will acknowledge that. Now, I'm not so much concerned about the defense because they have been a middle-of-the-pack defense since the All-Star break. Now, that might sound like, oh, that's something to brag about. Well, that's all they need with their firepower on offense. They've actually been about a top-five defense in the league as far as opponents' field goal percentage since the All-Star break. So that's number one. Their defense, I'm not worried about. Kyrie, that's always in the back of your head, right? Is he going to go AWOL or is something going to happen with him? But I'm not worried about that. I think their locker room is good. I think they have the right attitude. I think all the stars are bought in that it's all in on winning the championship. Don't worry about individual accolades. What concerns me, Colin, is that they are going to go into the playoffs with probably about 10 games together.
Maybe.
With their best three players.
Maybe.
If that. And for them to win the championship like that would be completely unprecedented. And I get it. They've got historical level talent. But there have been other teams that have had this level of talent. Bosh, Wade, LeBron. Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, Wilt Chamberlain, that couldn't come together that quickly. So that worries me a bit. I expected them to have maybe 15 to 20 games together going into the playoffs, which even that's not a lot. So when they get into a tough series, if they do, and push, you know, it's a tough 6 or 7 game series, and the other team is really defending them hard, and they got to defend hard, I wonder with that little bit of experience together how they're going to handle it. So, yeah, I'm concerned. And then Kevin Durant or any of the stars, they're all injured here and there. Kevin Durant, Colin, has not played more than 6 consecutive games in 23 months, basically 2 years. And so, you know, the playoffs in the first rounds are every other day, essentially.
Yeah.
And so those are the two things that concern me about Brooklyn.
I'll circle back to the Knicks in a second. I want to talk about Frank Vogel. So Vogel's a guy that likes bigs. He's got a little old school. When he's had bigs, he's elevated them. And LeBron and AD are out. And I watch the Lakers and I'm like, I know we don't want to talk about Vogel because it's LeBron's world and AD. Are you a little surprised how competent the Lakers have been being led by Kyle Kuzma, Dennis Schroeder, KCP? Are you surprised at all?
Well, they've caught some breaks. You get Utah without Donovan Mitchell. You get Charlotte without not only LaMelo Ball, but Gordon Hayward and Terry Rozier were out as well. They caught Brooklyn, of course, without James Harden, and then Kyrie gets ejected. So they've caught some breaks, but I don't want to take anything away from them, Colin, because they've played well. And you mentioned Frank Vogel. Frank Vogel is a very good coach. When they hired him, look, Ty Lue would have been fine. That's who everybody wanted. There wouldn't have been a problem with that. But when they hired Frank Vogel, I thought to myself, that's a good hire. He can coach. And I went back to when he was in Indiana. Forget Orlando. Went back to Indiana. And, of course, Miami had the big three. And Indiana took them 7 games in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yep.
And then 6 games.
Yeah.
So the big three, it was LeBron, Wade, Bosh versus Paul George, Roy Hibbert, and Lance Stephenson. All right? That was Vogel's big three.
I know.
And he was giving them all they wanted, right? So I knew, and I think LeBron knew that too. Remember, you didn't get any pushback from LeBron, no problems from LeBron. He showed up at his opening press conference. So LeBron knew in the back of his head this was a good hire, and he's proven to be.
Yeah, and by the way, as you well know, Joy, those Pacer series with Miami were crazy tight. They were great, and they had Roy Hibbert and Paul George, who historically has struggled in the playoffs. Okay, let's get back to the Knicks. I didn't love Thibodeau as a hire. Don't know him, but I thought, God, it's a retread hire. He works guys to death. And then I watched Julius Randle and R.J. Barrett, and this is not a mirage, is it possible the Knicks have finally, 20 years, righted the ship?
I would not go that far. Now, look, this is a great season for them. It's a good season. Obviously, Julius Randle has emerged as a guy that looks like not only a one-time All-Star, but someone that could become a perennial All-Star.
Yeah, yeah.
The front office moves. They kept Scott Perry from the old regime. He's still doing a great job for them. And obviously, got Leon Rose and World Wide West. But this, Colin, next year, this won't be enough. This looks good because nobody expected anything. And they've been garbage for the past several years. So now mediocrity is looking good. Next year they'll have to take another step, and it's going to take getting more players. But Thibodeau maximizes talent. Look at those Chicago teams. He had Derrick Rose. Carlos Boozer was a good player. And then Joakim Noah, Luol Deng. They had really good players, but only one star, and they had the best record in the East when Miami had the best big three. So this is what Thibodeau does. The surprise to me, Colin, was that he couldn't turn it around in Minnesota, which really might be an indictment on some of the players there, more so than an indictment on Thibodeau.
All right. What do you make of Steph Curry? Isn't that crazy? Best stretch of his career. Best 3 weeks in his career right here. Kind of amazing, right?
Colin, he's getting doubled off every ball screen, off every dribble handoff. He's doubled, sometimes triple teamed. And the thing about him is he makes such difficult shots. And sometimes the defense is playing him tough. Like, they get a hand up, they stay with his dribble, and he's still hitting these shots. It's unbelievable. It's unfortunate he won't be able to win the MVP. It reminds me of the year that Kobe averaged 35, scored 81 points in that game against Toronto, but didn't win the MVP because the Lakers finished with the 7th seed. So Golden State in the 9th seed, he's not going to be able to win the MVP. But yeah, this is phenomenal what he's doing. And I want to see him playing meaningful games, like battling for a championship again.
I'm watching these highlights. They look like the highlights you'd see at the end of a year. Like, if you took somebody's 7 best plays, he had them one night. I mean, it's just that he is
right.
His range. I mean, look at this right here. What is that? A follow-up.
You know the stat, Colin, right? This week, he had 3 different games where he made at least 10 threes. I think he made 11 in 2 of them. Only one other player has more than 3 such games in his career. That's Klay Thompson. Steph's got like 20. Klay's got like 7. Damian Lillard and someone else got 3. So think about that. He did in 1 week what no one else has, what everyone else has taken a career to do in an era when guys are jacking up threes left and right. It's unbelievable. Like, I want to say this, Colin. You remember a couple weeks ago, Brian Windhorst threw out that LeBron was recruiting Steph, right?
Yeah.
My initial reaction was there's no reason Steph should leave Golden State. That's ridiculous. He's got his rings. Stay with the franchise you built, blah, blah, blah. The more time goes on, and we're just talking weeks, the less egregious Steph leaving Golden State feels to me, Colin. Because here's what I do if I'm Steph. I go back next year. We got Klay coming back. We'll have Draymond. We got Wiseman healthy. Let's see what we are. If we are a top four or five team in the West, go to the second round or so, and look like we're a few minor moves away from being able to really, really compete for a championship the next year, then I'm good. I stay. But if they're a 7th, 8th seed, maybe Klay's not quite the same, Draymond's showing more age, and they get blasted in the first round of the playoffs, and Steph continues to play at this level,
yeah,
then I think he has to look at, not for his legacy. His legacy is set. We know that. He's got 3 rings. But why should he play the last 5 years of his career, especially if he's still in his prime, not playing for championships?
Right.
This is the era where you move, right? I don't look at Kobe any greater than I look at LeBron because Kobe stayed with one team. I don't look at KD and Harden any worse than a guy that stayed with one team. So I think Steph, you know, depending on what happens next year, I would not be mad at him in the least bit. In fact, I'd be excited if Golden State doesn't have enough, if he went to a team like a Lakers, if LeBron's still playing well, or a Milwaukee, or somebody that can win a championship with him. Especially, Colin, if Brooklyn, I know you don't believe this, if Brooklyn runs through the league and becomes like the next Golden State, then yeah, I'd love to see Steph go somewhere, team up with some other stars, and give them a run for their money.
Yeah, we need more stars in L.A. because we're so starved for star athletes right now. I just get excited talking about that stuff. Chris Broussard, good talking to you, bud. That'd be crazy.
All right, Colin.
Can you imagine if we just got Matt Stafford, we just got Trevor Bauer, Mookie Betts a year ago.
Yeah, people would lose their minds. It would be absolute mayhem.
That'd be great. There's plenty of homes available here, Steph.
NBA, I think I said this already, but NBA Twitter would just melt down.
Do you know the highest rated games in the NBA in the last 2 weeks have been Laker games without LeBron and AD? It's the biggest. It's the Yankees. It's the biggest brand.
Yeah,
so if you put LeBron, AD, and Steph on it.
But also just, I mean, it's LeBron and Steph. Like,
oh my God.
It'd be insanity.
It'd be almost gluttony.
Yeah. I mean, I would love it. I love anarchy. But
yeah. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Oh, Zion. Well, the Pelicans lost 122-112 in overtime to the Knicks on Sunday. But despite the loss, Zion still loved playing his first NBA game at Madison Square Garden, had something interesting to say about it.
New York is the mecca of basketball. I love playing here. When I played here in college, and this is my first time playing here in the pros, and I mean, this atmosphere, you know, whether they're cheering for you, whether they're booing for you, it's amazing. Honestly, I think outside of New Orleans, obviously, I think this might be my favorite place to play.
By the way, is anybody, he's impossible to root against. He's like got the enthusiasm of a 14-year-old kid.
He does.
He's so happy.
Smile.
He has great energy.
Oh
my God, I love watching.
Very unique game. It doesn't look like anything that we're used to watching the past couple years in the NBA, maybe ever.
I'm not blaming anybody, but if you're asking me, if I'm rooting for interesting, him in New York, what do you want me to say?
Yeah, I mean, even before the draft, like there was no way it was going to happen, but. Yeah,
we were pulling for it.
Oh, 100%. It's not. I'm from Pittsburgh. Okay, so people, I am probably now a coastal elitist,
right.
But I am from Pittsburgh. You can have dynasties in smaller towns or smaller cities.
We see it all the time.
You just have to build it, which you can still do.
Not going
to
get the free agents.
You can get some free agents, but you're not going to get the free agents.
Right.
But. Big stars in big cities
is great.
It's a big deal. It makes the whole league more interesting. That's why I low-key always root for the Knicks to be better, because they are interesting. Like, it's fun having the Knicks be competitive. And now they're playing competitive games in Madison Square Garden, and that is the reaction. Players love playing in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
You hear LeBron talk about it all the time. Michael used to love playing.
Kobe.
This is like a really – there's something about that place. And certain stadiums and certain arenas just have a little extra magic to them. They just do.
Yeah,
like,
no.
There's something about playing in certain places.
I've only been there two or three times, but it is – the crowd is right on the floor. They're loud.
It's very intimate.
It's also a great basketball town, so you get, like, really knowledgeable fans in New York. All fans are knowledgeable.
No, and there's a passion. And it's not it's not maybe not all reasonable, but there is a passion there, and you can feel that. But, of course, then there's the conversation of, like, oh, well, Zion already thinking about leaving. Like, he's not. There's plenty of time for the Pelicans to figure it out. Now, his rookie contract will expire after the 2022-23 season, so that's not that far away.
And he's also made a ton in shoes, so he could be the first player ever to not sign that extension with the team that drafted him.
Well, he'd be a restricted free agent. The soonest that he's an unrestricted free agent is 2024. But...
You want out, you want out.
New Orleans knows a little bit about their stars leaving, so it could just be a little, sprinkle of anxiety there. So Trey Lance is holding his second pro day today at North Dakota State, and a handful of teams are scheduled to make the trip. Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch will be in attendance for the 49ers, and the Falcons are sending the full three-person allotment. Broncos and Patriots are also expected to be there. Chicago, Washington, and Carolina are reportedly not going to watch Lance throw today, but all three teams are present for his first pro day in March. So pro days are very much becoming a thing. I do think that I don't know how much this is going to last, though, once they're able to do the full combine again.
Yeah.
So, obviously pro days, you probably wouldn't have to if you went to the combine.
Yeah.
So I think once, things start to get like 100% back to normal and they do that again, they might not be having second pro days. So I don't know how much this is going to be normal.
If Trey Lance looks great, it'll matter. Like, I always laughed at it, but the bottom line, he didn't play enough for me to see him. So for him, for Trevor Lawrence, I thought it was irrelevant. But you could make an argument for Trey Lance. If he ripped a 45 minutes off and was really accurate, somebody on the fence is going to go on that flight home to New England. Okay, we don't have anything like this in our facility.
Right. Well, I also think you can, even though it is a more comfortable, controlled environment at pro days, and you're throwing against air and you're throwing to receivers that you've been practicing with and it's your space, there is still some pressure. I mean, you still have GMs and coaches there watching you, evaluating you. And I think there's some value for the team in that they can go see him, see how he moves, see his body type up close and personal, talk to him, talk to the people there at the school. There's value for both. I don't know that it's everything. To me, the tape is obviously way more important. And the interview to me is important too, because you can really see what somebody is about when they're talking to you one-on-one. So I think there's something to it, but I don't know that this is the second pro days are going to be normal once the combine comes back. So the Cincinnati Bengals unveiled their new uniforms for the 2021 season. This is the team's first major change in 17 years. Sorry to the radio audience.
Wow.
But I like them. The striped helmet will stay the same, but it's a new,
I like
bold, sleek, more timeless look.
Yeah.
They obviously had a photo shoot to display them.
There's less nonsense. Yeah, I mean, it's just got a little tiger thing. I like it.
Yeah, there's like little stripes on the...
I like it.
Bangles. Bangles stripes. Not tiger stripes.
It's just a cleaner...
On the side. Yes, they're cleaner. I like the pants. And
yeah, I like it too.
Yeah, I like... Everyone always freaks out about uniform changes and logo changes. It, like, people just lose their minds over it. It's not really that deep. They always bring back throwbacks anyway, so it's fine.
Atlanta made an update a couple years ago with ATL. I loved it. People were really hit and miss on that. I loved it.
I didn't... Yeah, the aesthetic, it doesn't bother me, but it wasn't my favorite change.
I mean, let's be honest.
I loved the Chargers ones, though. Yeah. I thought those were great. They have just really great uniforms anyway, though. They're very clean.
Yeah.
But yeah, so new Bengals uniforms.
There you go. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
I may give
news.
You another mock draft today because we got new information out. I got a real strong feeling about something.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bucky Brooks, a former NFL defensive back, a second-round pick who is also a scout for the Panthers and the Seahawks, works for Fox Sports as an NFL analyst, and he is joining us live. So, Bucky, let's say the Falcons don't take a quarterback, which I don't think they should. Then it becomes an argument between guaranteed quality, Kyle Pitts, or speculative quantity move-down draft picks. If you ran Atlanta and didn't take a quarterback, would you go for the lock in Pitts, helps you tomorrow, or the speculative multi-picks years later?
Well, if I'm the Atlanta Falcons, I'm thinking about bringing Matt Ryan back. Obviously, we're under the contract where the number makes it hard to part ways with him. Cal Pitts is the selection at number 4. The reason why is I want to get this offense up and going. And if I think about Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley on the outside, Cal Pitts in the middle, we now are a dynamic unit. And to go from being horrible to being middle of the pack or good, you have to have one side of the ball that plays at a high level.
Yeah.
It is much easier to get that offense up and running and playing at a high level if you add a talent like Kyle Pitts to the mix.
Yeah, no, you and I agree on that. It's also a first-year general manager. I'm not sure I want to get into the speculation business. I'd rather get into the guaranteed business. And Kyle Pitts with this offense feels can't miss to me. For the record, Denver is at 9. Now, we know the first three teams are taking a quarterback. If Atlanta does not at 4, and I think you and I believe Atlanta probably won't, that means I have Trey Lance and Justin Fields, excellent prospects, at the number 5 pick. And then you have a bunch of teams outside of Denver that don't need a quarterback. So if you're Denver, you tell me your experience. If you're Denver, you sit there and you think, oh, I like them both the same. I like Trey Lance. I like Justin Fields. Why move up? I'll just wait. Unless New England jumps us, then I got to move. But your takeaway on what Denver's thinking today?
Yeah, I think they have to be ready to do both things. They have to be able to execute a plan that enables them to get up in the mix and maybe make a trade to get to 6 or 7 to be able to get into the quarterback market. I don't know if you can confidently stand pat at 9 and get the guy that you want. It looks like that maybe one of those quarterbacks will fall out, but getting to 7 will probably guarantee you that you will get one of those quarterbacks. If we see the first 3 picks go quarterback, you should have an opportunity to get that because we know that Cincinnati's not going to take one. And we're pretty confident that Miami's not going to take one. The sweet spot would be number 7 with the Detroit Lions.
You know, the Panthers are interesting. It behooves them to make the market think, you know, we may take a quarterback. But they got Teddy and Sam. And my takeaway is They desperately need corners and a left tackle. Both could be available at the eight if everybody's taking quarterbacks in the first five or six picks. So if you could take a Penei Sewell, the best left tackle of the last couple years, or take another quarterback, I don't know. I know I keep hearing they're interested, but good God, you may never get a left tackle prospect like that for the next 10 years in your franchise. What would you do if you're Carolina?
Well, if you're Carolina, like, you've kind of gone all in on Sam Darnold, because when you made the move to get him, you didn't give up, like, significant draft capital, but what you are doing is you're taking on the fifth-year option. So that makes it about 2 years, $22 million. So we know for 2 years that Sam Darnold is going to be the quarterback and play at Carolina. So now what you want to do is continue to build up the weapons around him. So if you add Penei Sewell, or even if they prefer Rashawn Slater, now you solidify that offensive line. They have more than enough talent on the outside with DJ Moore and Ronnie Anderson. You have Christian McCaffrey in the backfield. You could stand to get a tight end, but that is an upgrade over what Sam Darnold has played with. And now you're banking on Joe Brady being able to help Sam Darnold play at a level that he hasn't shown yet by putting him in an offense that is easier for him to be able to succeed.
Do you have any worries at all about Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville?
No, I don't have any worries, because I think what you do in these situations, you're betting on people. And the two people that I'm betting on, one, Trevor Lawrence, two, Urban Meyer. When you go back and look at both of those guys' track record, they have been able to get it done wherever they've been. Trevor Lawrence took over a winning program at Cartersville, Georgia in high school, continued to help them to win, goes to Clemson, leads them to a national championship, two other playoff appearances. The stage wasn't too big. When you find out who he is, when you talk to people around him, very competitive guy, very mature guy, very capable of handling the responsibility of being a franchise quarterback. And then with Urban Meyer, Urban Meyer's figured it out. He has won everywhere that he's been. And even though the transition from the college game to the pro one is a big one, I'm just a believer in people. Leaders find a way to get it done. I think they will figure it out and they will be successful together in Jacksonville.
Justin Fields, if I said, all right, Bucky, best guess where he goes. We don't think it's top three. Where does he go?
I think he goes at three. But if he doesn't go at three, it's a tricky one, because I really don't know. Because if Atlanta doesn't take him, then you have a situation where you have the Denver Broncos, maybe you have the New England Patriots, and those things. I would say if it comes down to Denver, he's an upgrade over Drew Lock.
Yes.
He's a very talented player. He can make things happen. And I would say that he's underrated. I would say he's the second best quarterback in this draft. Others may not agree with that, but we'll see out over time. It reminds me a lot of the Justin Herbert situation, where for whatever reason, maybe he was on the stage for too long. We have nitpicked his game and he has been very, very criticized, where we haven't been as critical of others. I think when he gets a shot in the league, he's going to be a superstar.
Yeah, I agree. Bucky Brooks, good talking to you, bud.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Colin.
Yeah. People, we forget this. We picked apart Justin Herbert. I mean, think about this. When Joy and I were, I kept saying this. So Justin Herbert was 6'5", mobile, huge arm at Oregon, and he didn't play with NFL receivers and backs.
And he's smart.
Four-point biology major. There were more doubters than believers. He goes to the Senior Bowl, easily the best player. He goes to the Rose Bowl, and that Wisconsin defense that's the best Wisconsin defense they have had in years. Took him apart. Best player on the field. And people were 50-50. He's a little mechanical. My thing with Justin Fields is he big enough? 6'3". Fast enough? Oh, Lord. Arm, good. Big games, yeah. Productive, super. A lot of turnovers, not many. You know what I mean? I don't know. I said before, Mac Jones has a million red flags. Arm, unathletic, mishap his freshman year, bad judgment. He doesn't come from a family of world-class athletes. They're more tennis players, which is fine, but it's a million. I don't see the red flags with Justin Fields. I didn't see him with Justin Herbert. I don't see him with Justin Fields. I don't see the red flags. I just don't see him.
I don't know what's happened. I just don't get what's happened between the end of the season and now, that the conversation has completely changed. Like, all season long, it was Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence. Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence. There was even some talk, like, for a split second there, like, is Justin Fields a better prospect than Trevor Lawrence. Now all of a sudden, like, Justin Fields could follow the draft and Mac Jones is above him. I don't know. I just don't understand. Is there like a secret league we don't know about? Because I feel like that's rude.
Well, the English Premier League may break up. Maybe there's a new secret league we don't know about over
there.
There
has to be something going on.
Some world order Illuminati thing going on at sports. But it's, you know, we nitpick. You know, it's funny. We did this with Zion.
Yeah.
Like, they're 21-year-old kids. They improve. I mean, Trey Lance has barely played.
He's played the same amount of time as Mac Jones.
Yeah.
He just didn't play last year.
What's the difference between an AMG skeptic and an AMG believer? A split second. The time it takes to fire up the ignition, step on the gas, and hear the gutsy engine roar. Mercedes AMG driving performance. Go to mbusa.com/AMG.